The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your word. We thank you that you are reigning in heaven and on earth, and that you are working out your perfect plan in this world. We pray, Father, as we look into your word this morning, that you would give us hearing ears and understanding hearts. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16 this morning. As we look at the mission of the church at the start of the 21st century, we see a vast mission field. The need for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed in our culture is ever greater than it has been. And if we're going to have an impact, we should be conducting our lives in certain ways. We should be very thankful that we've been given grace by our risen Savior and Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out the church's mission. We've been given clear instructions on how we are to conduct ourselves as the disciples of Christ. And one of the clearest examples of this is found in the Sermon on the Mount. This section of Scripture found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7 is very well known to us. And this morning I'd like to take just a few minutes to look briefly with you at a small part of the sermon. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, which reads as follows. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is God's word. In these few words, Jesus is telling us what kind of influence we should be having on our world. You will note that Jesus does not say that as his disciples, we can retreat or hide ourselves from the world, but rather, he assumes that we will have a very real influence on our society. In the Beatitudes, which are found in chapter 5 and which immediately precede these verses, Jesus told his disciples what are to be the marks of those who belong to his kingdom. He then goes on to say that precisely because we are his disciples, those who exhibit these characteristics, we can and must have a very real impact on the world. The first thing that we're told in verse 13 is that we are the salt of the earth. Now, when Jesus used this phrase, he's talking about two important uses of salt. First, it's used as a preservative. And then secondly, it's used as seasoning. Now, of course, we know that Jesus lived in a time when there were no refrigerators or freezers. So if people wanted to keep their meat fresh and from decay, they had to find ways of preserving it. What they did was to take the meat and cut it up into strips. They would then take coarse salt and rub it into the meat. Having done this, the meat would then keep indefinitely. Now, Jesus is making a couple of points here. First of all, he's telling us that the world is like uncured, unprepared meat. Left alone, it will rot and simply sink deeper into sin and will decay and is decaying. Sin has such a strong hold on the world that it cannot do anything to help itself. Jesus is telling us then that you and I, as members of the church, can play a part in helping to prevent the spread of this decay. God, in his mercy, has established a number of what might be called restraining influences in our society. There is the state, with its power to make and enforce laws. There is the family, which should be used to raise law-abiding and decent citizens. But as important as these institutions are, they are not enough. There is an even more basic element that God has in mind for this task of preserving the society. It is you and I, as the people of God, the church, which is God's chief instrument in preserving society from the decaying effects of sin. When we as Christians live righteous and moral lives, we are helping to check the decay that is in the world. More importantly, most importantly, when we preach the word, sharing the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, we are exerting the strongest influence at our disposal. Christ is saying that you and I must be his witnesses, that we must share our faith with others if we want our world to be preserved from the terrible effects of sin. Because the only hope for the world is for men and women to be brought to faith in Jesus Christ through the preaching and witnessing of Christians like you and I and the sovereign working of the Holy Spirit. The second use of salt is that of seasoning. We put salt on our food to add to the taste of the food. The reason we do this is because the salt tastes different or stands out from the food that we're eating. If it completely blended into the food and disappeared, we wouldn't use it. In using this example, Christ is telling us that we too must be different from the sinful world in which we are living. If we blend into our sinful surroundings, we'll cease to have any value. Having told us then, first of all, that we are salt, Jesus then warns us that there is something that we must be very careful of. In the second part of verse 13, he tells us that as the salt of the earth, we must be careful not to lose our saltiness. Salt, or sodium chloride, is a very stable chemical. So, provided that it's kept from contamination, it retains its strength. If, however, it's mixed with other substances, it can and will cease to have the strength that it should have. Jesus is saying, therefore, that we must be very careful not to lose our Christian saltiness. It is only as we retain those character traits described in the Beatitudes that we will continue to be effective witnesses for Christ in the world. In some ways, the image of the Christian saltiness is rather a negative one. We're being called to act as a preservative, to be different. As a result, there might be a temptation to become too negative, to view our role merely as trying to make the best of a very bad situation. And if we're inclined to think that, we need to pay particular attention to the next command here, where we're told that we are the light of the world. The first thing that needs to be said about this is that the original source of our light is Christ himself. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." This is not a contradiction of what is being said here in Matthew 5, but is an accurate picture of our situation. Christ is the source of the light. And if we have the kingdom life within us, then we are a living testimony to those in the world who do not as yet have the light. Jesus tells us in verse 16 that our good works are our light. What we do, how we conduct ourselves, the way we interact with our society, our witness. Christ is talking about those things which we do that show our faith. The Apostle James in his letter wrote that faith without works is dead. Put another way, we simply cannot claim to be Christians. We must live like Christians. We must show that we are Christians by our love for God and our love for our neighbor. We must be active in doing good. We must also be active in doing God's will. God has left us clear instructions on how we are to live. And if we truly love him, we will keep his commandments. This is neither moralism nor legalism. It is an essential part of who we are. Jesus is, however, saying more than this in this passage. He is, I think, talking about our role as his witnesses in the world. Time and again, the Bible compares the truth of God and the message of the gospel to a great light. So it is when you and I are witnessing to others about Christ, when we are sharing our faith, then we are truly being the light of the world. Martin Luther, in commenting on this passage, said that Christ was, quote, thinking principally about the distinctly Christian work of teaching correctly, of stressing faith, and of showing how to strengthen and preserve it. Having told us that we are to be the light of the world, Jesus then tells us that we should never hide the light. Obviously, if a light's going to do any good, it must be put in the right place. As Jesus himself said, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Putting this in very practical terms, we should not hide ourselves away from the world. We cannot serve God by simply being religious while we're at home, or at church, or at seminary. Rather, we must position ourselves so that we can give light to those people we come in contact with. In the history of the church, there have been at times a temptation on the part of some to be so protective of the light, of being so afraid of losing the Christian salt and light, that they have withdrawn too much from the world. Yes, we need to make sure that we are protected from evil influences. But let us never so protect ourselves that we turn in on ourselves and cease to relate to or interact with those around us. It's wrong for us to keep our faith to ourselves. We must let our light shine among men. And why? In verse 16, Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The purpose then of our witnessing, of our good deeds, is not to draw attention to ourselves or earn merit, but rather it is to point the way to Christ. There's no room whatsoever in the church for us to use the gospel to make ourselves look better. But instead, we should be pointing away from ourselves and toward Jesus. The fact that we're called to be visible as Christians will not make life easier for us. There may well be times when it would be easier not to say or do anything, which would show that we were Christians. But this would be a refusal on our part to do our duty before God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said this, flight into the invisible is a denial of the call of God. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. John Stott has summed up the positive teaching in this passage when he wrote this, we are to be ourselves, our true Christian selves. openly living the life described in the Beatitudes and not ashamed of Christ, then people will see us and our good works, and seeing us will glorify God. For they will inevitably recognize that it is by the grace of God we are what we are, that our light is His light, and that our works are His works done in and through us. Jesus' teachings here about salt and light give us some very practical guidelines about what our role in the world is. This passage teaches us that the Church of Jesus Christ, and you and I as its members, have a very important role to play in society. It's very tempting at times to simply feel anger and frustration or helplessness when we see what's going on in the world around us. But this is not enough. Rather, we should follow the teachings of Christ in this passage and do the job that has been given to us. As the salt of the earth, we are placed here to help stop the decaying effects of sin, which are clearly at work in the world. Society cannot and will not improve itself, but rather it needs to be radically changed by the grace and power of God in Christ. As Christians, we can be God's instruments to stop this decay if we are willing to preach, to teach, to share the gospel, to speak out when we see evil. Sometimes I'm afraid we're too timid when we see evil, and instead of speaking out, we simply shake our heads in dismay. As we seek, by God's grace, to be the salt in the society, we need also at the same time to focus on the positive role that God has given to us. The world certainly needs to be told where and when it's sinning against God, but it also needs to be told how it can be reconciled to God. This is where our role as the light of the world comes in. As we saw, it's our duty to share our faith with our fellow men. As the church, we've been placed here to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ. We need to explain to those around us that the only hope for them as individuals and for the world as a whole is for them to repent of their sin and then to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their only Savior and Lord. It's also our responsibility to live lives which will clearly show our love for Christ. One of the things that the world sees through very quickly is hypocrisy. So we must be very careful that we practice what we preach, that our faith is shown by our actions. If we are faithful in this, then those around us will, in God's time, see what we are doing and will give glory to God. Another way that the Christian can be a light for the world in the society is to use to the fullest extent the gifts and abilities that God has given us for His glory first and then for the good of others. History tells us of Christians who have made a significant contribution in their own time and to their own culture. Be it through the artistic endeavors of people like Bach or Handel, or by political endeavor, through the work of people like William Wilberforce, who spent the better part of his life fighting for the abolition of the slave trade. Did you know that Reformed Presbyterians in the United States in the 19th century were actively involved in helping many people escape the slave trade and reach safety in Canada through the Underground Railroad? There are many other historic and contemporary examples of this kind of action. And my challenge to all of us this morning is this: we cannot be the light to our world if we've given up on it and are not involved in it. In this first part of Matthew chapter 5, Christ described for us what he expects to find in our characters. And he has told us what our role in the world is to be. If we rely on our own strength, we will never be able to accomplish the tasks which have been given to us. But we are not to rely on ourselves. We are to rely upon the power of God to accomplish this work. And we can rely on the fact that it is by the power of God and the grace of God in Jesus Christ the men's hearts are changed and their lives transformed. May God help each of us to live lives which please Him, and may He also help each of us to carry out the mission that He has given to us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge that it brings to us. And we thank you for giving us this opportunity to be here this morning. We pray that you would help each of us to be the salt and light that you require of us and that you want us to be. Help us, Father, to be faithful witnesses wherever you place us. We pray all these things, pleading the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.